All right, so it is very possible that I spoke too soon, and that was not Skype's fault.
User error.
So I forgot that I had done an update, and part of the update required a restart to the sound service.
User error.
So my bad, Skype. I apologize. It was my fault this time.
Dear Skype, I was on the battlefield late one morn, and I thought to myself, I barely ate anything. There was a hen and a rat that was in this foxhole with me. And to my error, I forgot to restart you, Skype. Please come back to me. Mm. Come back into my cold hands.
Mm-hmm. I see.
You're going to have to peel Skype away from my cold, dead hands, good sir.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hey, did you know we got our first one-star review?
Yeah! Who's that from? Read it.
It's not showing, thank you. It's not showing up yet.
Legionnaires, thank you.
It's not
thank
showing
whoever,
up.
Whoever brought on the one star, thank you.
Oh, I know who did.
Who? Oh, please do tell. Read the I want to read the review. Well, why are you telling me without reading the damn review?
It shows up in the review. You know how it breaks it down, like 5-star, 4-star, 3-star, 2-star, 1-star?
Hey, why don't you just share with me that right now Dark Phoenix, that doesn't open up for 3 days, is already at a 26%. And then when I ask you, well, why is that? Let me know, why are they saying that? Oh, I don't know. The movie's not out yet. We can't tell you.
Listen, it takes a few days for Apple to decide to put reviews where you can read them. But the score shows up automatically.
It's already in the algorithm?
Yes. In fact, every single podcast on the Nerdy Legion Network got one-star review on the same day.
Wow. We're all doing awesome.
It's almost like one person who's very angry that I'm about to reveal to the world that he steals comic books.
Aaron Myers. No, we all know it's Aaron Bell. Aaron Myers is a saint, but Aaron Bell, he can get a little salty.
He is a devil.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
I mean, I'm going to go that far because he doesn't listen.
That's true. He doesn't. Thank you for the one star, Mr. Bell. I appreciate it. So, saved yes. by the Aaron Bell.
So we got a one star review for somebody who is not Aaron Bell.
Oh.
Yeah. Somebody who lives.
The snapper car?
Somebody who lives in, we'll say in a state that starts with A.
Was it Snapper Carr? I don't know where he or she lives, but.
It was not Snapper Carr. If it was, Snapper Carr, shame on you, Snapper Carr.
Love you. Send us some more questions. Thank you.
So, yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm considering doing like WikiLeaks and releasing a treasure trove of audio in which this person explicitly talks about pirating comics and never explicitly paying for anything. He'll just use his friend's downloads. This person has a new podcast, which nobody should listen to. I will not call it out right now, but you will know this week when I release the treasure trove of information.
Wow. Wow. Huh. Well, I don't like that. You know I like to be part of this fun, but this doesn't sound like my type of fun. Am I right?
It doesn't sound like my type
it's
of fun
better
either.
Just to keep my pretty little is it better just to keep my pretty little head out of it as you pat it and be like, listen, you're so cute, I'm gonna keep you out of that. Let me keep you in the dark.
So here's what I thought about, Nick. Here's what I thought about. You know, as you know, I've been working a lot on my inner self.
Yes.
Over the last few months. We'll make an announcement at the end of this episode. In which I'll be working a lot more on my inner self very soon. And as a result, I was thinking to myself, do I want to be old me and just call this person out by name, let his podcast host know that their podcast is employing a pirate of comic books and
somebody's wearing an eye patch
and other media. Don't want to let his guests know, including all the comic shops that supposedly he's going to be visiting for this new podcast that he's a comic book pirate and does not support local comic shops or any comic shops for that matter.
Yikes, that ain't right.
Or do I just want to not even bother with it? Do I just want to say to myself, you know what? You're deep in stage blue here, bro. You're obviously very sad with yourself. You hate your life. You hate yourself. And you feel like you need to take that out on other people. So, bless you. And just move on. What do you think?
I usually don't like to get into the muck and the craziness. But, you know, there is a spot in our history. There is a spot within, especially you. You're a little rebel. There's a little Andrew Snowden in you, for sure. You like when there's something unjust, you want to uncover it.
That's very true.
So I completely understand that. Where my life is rainbow unicorns. So that's, you know, that there's that. But I'm also semi-curious, as well as, you know, I don't like the eye patches. So
it's true. And from my understanding of my previous Twitter posts, nobody likes eye patches. And everybody that replied said if they find out who this person is, they will murder him. I don't want anybody murdered.
Well, we don't want that. We don't advocate violence. But it's a whole different story. Like somebody who's writing for like CBR, like they have to get digital issues in. Or like you guys for Aftershock. You have to get digital copies in so you can talk about it at a timely basis. We can't wait for you to skip a week going to your local store or bodega to pick up your Aftershock books. You have to put that podcast out. And it's unrealistic for any listener of a podcast or any reader of, you know, a geek culture website to expect that person to pick up a comic book and then read it, absorb it, and then be able to vomit out either through into my ear holes or into my eye holes information about said comic that just came out that day. And people don't want to wait 2 weeks for that information. So you guys reading stuff like that, or like CBR writers or whoever, the writers of, you know, comic book reviews or movie reviews, guess what? They have to put on an eye patch, but it's for the job. But me, somebody who just babbles into a microphone, no, I shouldn't be putting on an eye patch.
I disagree. For one, places like CBR receive review copies.
No, that's what I'm saying. But they're digital review copies.
Yes.
This is all like above board stuff because that's the nature of the beast. You guys have to review this stuff. And does Aftershock want to wait for you to put out a review of their comic book 2 weeks late? No, they want it out hopefully the week that that comic book comes out.
Absolutely. I will say this. I am doing an episode.
There is no eye patch. My point is that is not an eye patch.
That is not an eye patch.
That is being part of the machine. You have to do that.
Well, do you?
Yes.
Well,
because a listener or a reader, they want that information.
So I'm going to talk about this in my other show because Alterna just changed their review policy. And I find it fascinating. They're not going to give out free review copies anymore. They're going to give a severely discounted coupon code, where you can purchase your review copy for next to nothing.
Can you also purchase it before the book gets released?
I believe so. Yes.
Okay. Well, then I don't have an issue with that. Depending on how severe it is, like if you could get stuff for 50 cents or a dollar and it's a digital code, okay. Like, guess what? I'm pretty sure CBR or some other comic book, you know, comic book related or nerd related company, if they have a budget, they can afford shit like that.
Sure. Maybe.
But I hate to say it. You look at the video game industry. Sure. They're completely different, but they still want their reviews up the week that, you know, a game gets released. So they get them early, and whether it's a digital code or a physical release, they're not paying for that.
Sure.
Because it's sort of a quid pro quo. You're getting something for something.
Yeah, you give me a reach around, I'll give you a reach around.
So
I'll slap on your knob.
Alterna doing that, I guess you gotta find a buck somewhere, but the people that are reviewing your content, my guess are
they're sort of, they got your back and they don't want to like rock, you know, drag you through the mud.
Mm-hmm.
They should be your biggest supporter and biggest fan. And now you're making those people pay for your, you'd hope that somebody would get a free copy, whether it's watermarked or whatever, digitally. And then that reviewer is still going out and fingers crossed buying your product.
You would think.
You would hope.
However, 99.9% of people are not Martin Ferretti, who gets review copies sometimes months in advance and doesn't read them until the comic comes out.
Mm.
Because, see, even though I get review copies, I still purchase all my Aftershock comics, all my Vault comics, or my Black Bass comics, all my Valiant comics, and whatever other review copies I get.
Mm-hmm.
DC, I'm getting DC now, so I buy all those too.
But still, you wouldn't be pissed if they put watermark on the copies that they're sending.
I don't care about that. My problem is when anybody, like, if, listen, here's the thing. If you decide you want to wear your eye patch, that's one thing.
That's wrong.
It is wrong. However, yeah. It's extremely wrong if you have a podcast that, quote unquote, is a positive podcast supporting a medium and you don't actually support the medium. And then you go and do some stupid, childish thing like give people one-star reviews that called you out privately, mind you, called you out.
Mm.
So the question becomes, do I call this out publicly?
It sounds hypocritical, to say the least.
It sounds extremely hypocritical. Extremely hypocritical. However, here's the thing, right? Like, you can't solve violence with more violence, Nick.
But what's violent?
Well, you know what I mean. Like, if you react to hate with more hate, you're not solving a problem. You're just creating more hate. And I think we have plenty of that already, no?
Let's put it this way. If you call somebody out, the worst thing that could happen is it shines a light on their behavior, and you hope that that person changes said behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Because the light is being shown to whoever our listener is, you know, the many people that gave us one-star reviews, of course.
Continue.
I'm joking. I hope I'm joking. Fingers crossed. Hopefully there's a modicum of entertainment within this podcast. Here and there, I would say, you know, hey, if we do it twice a year, if we do a sliver of entertainment twice a year, we're batting a pretty good average, I would say.
I would agree with you.
But I will say, if we were doing this and if I was getting a positive stroke from whomever, a music group that I was raving all about, or a video game that I was raving all about for weeks and weeks, and then all of a sudden it came to light that, oh, Nick got paid $200 to talk about said product or said group. And, you know, I would assume, because I've fallen into this, I would feel, as a listener, taken advantage because I don't know all this stuff. That's why all of a sudden, like, when this was happening, God, 5-8 years ago, when Kim Kardashian would, or, you know, a big celebrity, would go on to a late night talk show, and all of a sudden, one of their segments was how unbelievably awesome these customer chosen flavors that Lay's are doing. Have you heard about this? And then they would go on and on and on about it. And then all of a sudden, you find out a month later, mother effer, they were getting paid to talk about that when they were doing these late night talk show circuits. Mm-hmm. This wasn't just a clever little thing that popped into their head that they wanted to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So now all of a sudden when I'm watching like a YouTube video, and the wife and I, we watch quite a few like travel type videos. And I love when they come on and they're like, yeah, this Disney resort stay that we got was sponsored by Disney. They're not paying for these videos, but they're paying for us to stay here and for all of our food. And we get such and such a day to spend in the gift shop. And then it's like, okay, well, you know, at least then as a watcher, I can sort of choose whether to support that behavior or, you know, how much are they going to be reviewing this fairly?
Mm-hmm.
But at least I know it isn't being snuck into me. And then all of a sudden, guess what? A reporter on Collider is talking about Kim Kardashian and the stupid Lay's potato chip flavors. Oh, this has been uncovered. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like that, then as a listener or viewer, you feel sort of cheated.
Yes. No, I agree.
I have no problem. Okay, like for instance, Netflix. Netflix gives you a certain amount, like a family amount of like people that can sign into their accounts from remote locations. And you get, I don't know what it is, 4 or 5 accounts, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? If I wanted to give it to my dad and my mom, because I don't have 4 kids that all want to be on their, you know, devices. Well, guess what? I'm paying for a family amount of login codes. Mm-hmm. So I could use them however I want. But guess what? If Netflix didn't have those set up, and guess what? I can have 1,000 people logging into Netflix on this one code, and Netflix doesn't know anyone. You know, it's like there's a line there. At least in my head, there's a line there.
Mm.
Like just because there's a digital file out there, and believe me, I do not walk on water. I enjoy putting on the eye patch and listening to umpteen. I would download umpteen catalogs of like digital music and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I've done it. And I see why people do it, but this day and age, it's like everything's out there. Like you just have to pay for it or be lucky enough to like, oh, my brother has a login code for this. And they give him 4 login codes. So I have one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And if I want to pay my brother a portion of that, I could pay my brother a portion of that.
Mm-hmm.
Same with like Amazon Prime. You know, it's like, yeah, they have so many login codes. But like a digital file of a comic book, like, holy Christ, thousands upon thousands of people could have that code. And then are they the same people that are like, the comic book industry's dying? Where? And it's like, shit, I hate to say it. I might buy a lot of my comic books on sale for 99 cents. But at least somebody's getting something towards that. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, I might not pay $4 for something because I don't care if it's brand new or not. But at least somebody's getting a rub. When you're just getting that file and like, oh, okay, let's do that. Like, that's just... Or, guess what? If somebody buys a new Marvel comic book and they get the digital code, if they're never going to use that digital code, give it to a friend. Let somebody else read it because guess what? That person might be like, you know what? I want to buy that comic book now.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I know exactly what you're saying. And the funny thing is, though, the people that don't actually buy the comics are the ones that complain the most about the comics that do come out.
Yeah, they're the loud minority.
Yeah, yeah. And then on the random chance that comics do go away, they're going to be like, well, what do you mean they went away? Well, yeah, they went away because you didn't do what I wanted. And guess what? You're not paying for the comics, so shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I'm not stepping onto a soapbox. You certainly have a soapbox that you can step on.
Mm.
You're very much above board. You're very much, you practice what you preach in regards to comic books.
I do.
And you never pick up the hammer and start slamming down because you've been through this business long enough to realize, okay, the first arc of said comic book might not be everything that I was hoping it would be, but maybe by the second arc, maybe it will be something. Maybe it'll turn differently.
Mm-hmm.
So you're willing to wait, not just all of a sudden torpedo down this brand new comic book. And guess what? You know, your voice does have weight with, you know, your listeners. There is a responsibility there. But if the same person that's standing on the soapbox has not even dropped a dollar onto any of these comic books that they want to talk about or lambast.
Mm-hmm.
There's an issue there. Are you kidding me?
Let me tell you. So I remember back in the day when like Napster and stuff were getting big.
Yes. I had an eye patch on during Napster.
All right,
yes.
There's no doubt. I think most people did.
Mm-hmm.
But
Because it was like, brand new and cool.
Yeah, it was new and cool. Technology. You could do whatever you wanted. Yeah. But then, like, stuff started changing, right? Like, Netflix came out, and you're like, I'll just pay Netflix $10. You know what I mean? And, but like, I don't have everything, but...
But when, like, Lars Ulrich, the drummer from Metallica, came out, and he was one of the first to come out and be like, yo, this isn't right. Mm. This is my music that you're stealing for free, and supposedly you're one of my big fans, but yet you never pay any money for this music. And that was the first time that I'm like, yeah, that does sort of hit home.
Yeah,
like, it's one thing if it's like, oh, it's a Metallica concert that was bootlegged that will never be released officially.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? If you're that big of a fan and you want to listen to that, I'm sure even Metallica would be like, yeah, go ahead and listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
But all the official stuff you should be paying for. Mm. Yeah, so, yeah. Continue with your Netflix.
Sure, sure. So, and so, you know, so things started changing. And then, like, when you actually have the option where it doesn't seem like a whole lot to spend, but you're getting the value, then you're like, yeah, you know what? Like, why should I bother, like, worrying about the RIAA, whatever, send me a letter? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you ever did, but actually, I received two letters from my internet service provider.
Wow.
And then I was like, you know what? I don't need to worry about this crap. In fact, I've gotten to such a point. So like I said, I even though I get review copies, I still buy my comics. Mm-hmm. All the ones that I get review copies for, I buy. Whether I have read them beforehand or not. This past week, Nick, I did a crazy thing.
Huh.
I purchased a TV license for BBC.
Wow, so your internet IP address reached, since it is in Great Britain right now.
Yes.
It reached out and bought a BBC license, TV license.
So I like to hop my internet access around the world. Mm-hmm. The last couple of weeks I've been doing the UK because I wanted to watch Doctor Who.
Mm. Are you sure you didn't want to just watch Eurovision?
No, I wanted to watch Doctor Who.
Are you sure?
Yes. And I don't have cable, and I don't want to get it, all that crap. So I got on the BBC website, and I started looking around, and I was like, well, shit, there's like a lot of cool shows on here.
Mm-hmm.
So I went ahead and signed up for an account, because you have to have an account to watch all of them. And then it comes to a point where it says, do you have a TV license or not? Because, you know, in the UK, like, it's government funded, but you have to have a TV license to watch this stuff. And so at first I said no, and it gave me the little screen. I was like, you know what? Like, I want to watch something. Let me try again. So the second time I said, yes, I have a license, and it let me come onto the show. So you can sign up and say yes to no license and just watch whatever you want. But I started looking around, and there's a lot of cool stuff that I enjoyed on there. So yeah, obviously Doctor Who, but like Have I Got News For You, which is kind of like a little Daily Show type show. There's a cool, I think it's a documentary, The Planets. It's like really, really fucking good. And a few other things. So I was like, you know what? It seems like there's enough shows on here that I will enjoy. I'm just going to go ahead and pay for a license. So I converted my U.S. bucks to British pounds and purchased a TV license so I could legally watch BBC UK shows from here. Even though I don't know, like, what the actual legality of it is, since I'm technically not in the UK, but I paid for the thing. And it wasn't cheap, but it would be like just paying for any other streaming service.
Sure.
I think it would come out to like $12 a month, something like that.
Well, that ain't bad.
So that's not bad.
Can you watch all the footy that you want to watch?
You can watch a lot of footy.
Can you watch as much darts as you want to watch?
I haven't seen darts, but I was watching some rugby yesterday.
There you go. That was my next one I was going to ask.
Yeah. I love rugby. Staples.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched Australian football?
Yes.
Like the one it's like rugby, but it's not rugby.
Yeah, with the gigantic goalpost.
God, I love the shit out of that.
I used to watch that on ESPN 3 at like 2 in the morning or something. Oh, that was fantastic.
Australian football is the best.
Mm-hmm.
And they're real men, like these pansy American football players that have to wear padding.
Yeah, these guys there's beat plenty the of guys that of are getting other. Some sweet concussions.
Yes, they are. Anyways, so I did that. And I don't have a problem with it. You know what good. I mean? Like, I feel like if there's content that I want and I feel is good enough, then I should pay for it.
Yeah, if you have the means to pay for it.
Sure. And, you know, maybe that's part of their problem, right?
Maybe this person with the eye patch, maybe they were like me back in the day where I didn't have the money. So I would use my tax dollars that are funding my local library, and I went to my library and read it that way.
There you go. I would normally agree with you, except this person was gloating about the fact that they've purchased all this equipment for their new podcast. There was a new audio interface, some kind of mobile mixer unit, and listen, I don't know how much he paid for it, but I know at least the one thing that he purchased is well above $100.
So he or she has disposable income.
I mean, I don't know. At least disposable enough to spend over $100 on a sound unit.
Well, if he's completely up and current on all of it, well, hey, who's to say that a buddy isn't using their digital codes from their physical comic books and passing along the digital codes over to this guy?
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Interesting.
I'm just trying to check all the boxes. But to be honest with you, if it was me, I think I would put him on Front Street.
Mm,
because
yeah,
obviously, for whatever reason, they lashed out.
Mm.
And I don't appreciate that. And I think we put in plenty of time and effort into this podcast. Whether or not people think it's just a complete train wreck every week, I couldn't tell you. I don't read the emails.
Mm.
But I feel like we're at least genuine and we're trying to be honest and on Front Street every week, if possible, with the listener. And, you know, hey, I consider everyone a family member. So it's shocking when I hear that we get a 1-star review. And I would love to read said review, or did that person just, like you said, give all the Nerdy Legion podcasts 1-star review, and did they just copy and paste a review, or did they not even give us?
I don't know, because all I see is a score.
That's what I'm saying. I wish I knew, because you can give a 1-star review and not say anything below. You could just rate it.
Yes. See, this person forgets I'm Mr. Robot. I'm always recording, and I screenshot everything. Also, I may have access to hundreds of negative reviews to give this podcast.
Well, I don't know. Do you feel like Geraldo Rivera tonight?
Oh, my God. That sounds amazing. Are we going to break into the vault?
Are we going to go into Dillinger's vault? Are you going undercut? Are you going Oh, this was another good Geraldo one. Are we going undercover to a drug sting operation? Hello, I'm Geraldo Rivera. I'm the one in the red bandana. That's the only thing I remember from that. Him saying, I'm the one in the red bandana.
That's amazing. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. So there's that.
What?
Maybe
I should just be impulsive.
Nick, I'm trying to better myself.
You know what I like? Nerdy Legion. Breaking news.
Because
I hate to say it, I want you to break this news, and I want this podcast to be released before the other one that we have queued up to be released. I want it to jump over that one and be released as soon as we are done recording. I want that thing to be released. Ask that, because you're playing around now. You're playing around with my thing.
I see. Yeah, I like it. It's your podcast. I'll do that.
I want to know who this is. I want an expose. I want to hear all about it. I want you to spill the tea.
Because
you are a better person. I don't care what you say. Even if you decide to say something or not say something, you're a better person. I just find this ridiculous. It's so hypocritical. And it bums me out. Dude, it bums me out. Especially if what you're saying is true, that this person's like, I'm going to go around and talk to comic store owners and get their side of the story, or I'm going to talk to creators. And it's like, dude, we're sitting here talking up a storm. Like, I would like to talk to a creator. What the hell?
Mm.
And you're taking up their time. And when push comes to shove, are you even buying their book? Like, it would be nice to talk to Philip Hester about their book, but I damn well would be buying their books.
Of course.
And now here's this Giacomo. Let's say he talked to Philip. Like, he just wasted Philip Hester's time. Might know a lot about his work. I'm not saying he wouldn't know.
He does.
But still, how much are you supporting?
I mean, when you spell Deadpool incorrectly in your show notes.
Is it two words?
It's two words.
Nah. I was going to say, is it two words or is it Deedpool?
When you talk about your most underrated character being Morph and reference the Changeling almost verbatim from the Wikipedia article, it's pretty obvious you don't know comics.
Wow, God. I mean, I so want to know. And I don't. And to be honest with you, I don't want you to say, I'll tell you after the podcast, because that's bullshit. And at that point, don't tell me. Because all it's going to do is ruminate in me. At least if we're talking about this and we talk it out, then Nick goes to bed and it's like, I'm not just thinking about it or stewing about it.
All right, how about this? I haven't decided yet how public I want to do this. So how about I just say this person used to co-host a podcast on this network and is no longer doing so.
I don't even know what that means.
You do know what it means.
No, I don't. Honest to God.
All right, let's go further. I just joined a podcast that used to have a different co-host. How about that? Is that clear?
Vaguely more clear. See, you're also, your first hint about the state beginning with A, I don't know where, I'm guessing who this person is. I don't know.
Oh, that's a good point. You don't know where they are. Yeah.
No clue about that.
Sure, sure.
So there's plenty of people that have podcasted on this network that now don't podcast on the network. That sure. There's a pool.
I mean, the person could live in Alaska.
There you go.
That starts with an A.
There's a lot of A's. So
they could live in Aruba. Well, that's not a state, but still.
No, that isn't. But that's okay. That's all right.
Interesting.
It sounds like I haven't had any direct dealing with this person, so.
Not really, no.
But wow, what a way to think small. Obviously that person has not listened to our podcast or if they have, maybe they just think this is a great way to like stab Nick a little bit. This won't affect him. Wink, wink.
And here's the thing. Like, I didn't
even, so deflate my balloon, dude.
I didn't even say anything. Okay. This is how it started. So this person posts this tweet about Morph. And another friend of ours says something to the effect of, like, way to quote Wikipedia. And all I did was put on that this meme. You know, it says this on the top and the girl's pointing up.
Yes.
That's what I did. And I got blocked. He got blocked. And then every show, like an hour later, gets a one-star review. That's pretty coincidental.
It is, but still, that's. I think it's coincidental.
You think so?
I always want to give somebody the benefit.
You do,
but it is a little scummy to brag about or have opinions about all these brand new comic books coming out, and yet then you're bragging that you have an eye patch and that. Trust me, you think I don't want to read every book DC and Marvel puts out, or Image, or Valiant, or Aftershock? Yes. Of sure. Course I do.
Yes.
But mother effer, that's why I wait for sales, because I can't afford to buy every book. Oh, wow. That's why it's like, hey, every listener to Nerdy Legion, you don't think they don't want to read every comic book? I want every comic book in my eyeballs.
Of course. And I wish I could read every comic book. And you know I read a shit ton of comic books.
Yes. It has nothing to do with the time. It has nothing to do with the quality. I just want to read everything. I want to be up on everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I can't, not in the state that I'm in right now.
I agree.
I can't even have cable, for God's sake. So, you know, you trim back corners where you have to. But
you're right.
For somebody to, like, freely admit it, that's like somebody, like, going into a comic book store and stealing the comic books.
Mm-hmm.
And bragging about it.
Bragging about it. Yeah. I mean, obviously not publicly, because then you would get chastised.
Well, he did. Obviously, you found out about it, so it must have been to some group.
Well, we were talking about something one time, and it just came out. Ha ha ha! This is what I do. And I was like, whoa. I don't want to know, bro. Don't tell me what you do.
Really?
But it's on record.
But was this just to you, like in a DM?
No. I've asked other people, and apparently it's come up there as well.
Or was this a group chat that people could read?
Well, this was before recording a podcast, actually.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And you know the shitty thing about this? If he does a podcast on one specific character or one specific genre or publisher, like Aftershock,
sure,
for instance, or the Batpod, I don't know. Pick your poison.
Sure.
If that mother effer doesn't even pay money for Batman books, what the fuck?
Mm.
Or he doesn't pay for Aftershock books? What the hell?
Mm-hmm.
Unless DC or Aftershock has them on press copies. Well, you know what? Then he's on press copies.
Right, but press copies is not the same.
It isn't, but that's also the publisher saying, we want you to have this.
Mm-hmm.
So read your comics from us for free, because there's a bet. They handed that out to every Joe Schmo. They handed it out to people who are influencers who they think have pull, or guess what? Maybe your brother works at DC and can get you free codes. Well, however that works, they think that you deserve said copies.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not an eye patch thing.
No, it is not.
They're sending them to you.
Yes, but that is not what we're talking about.
But if that's not what's happening, then, like, I'm on the Nerdy Legion Network. We talk about dumb stuff every week. It's not directed. But that's like Ronnie putting on an eye patch for Aftershock.
Mm.
He doesn't have to buy any of those books. He's getting sent codes.
Yeah.
But if at the beginning of Aftershock, you guys weren't getting codes initially, so you had to buy those books.
Mm-hmm.
Until all of a sudden, your listenership got up to a certain point, and they're like, hey, this is a benefit. We've listened to this podcast, and we approve of what they're saying, whether positive or negative. So here's codes. But for Ronnie just to pirate the copies at the beginning of your Aftershock podcast, just so he can do this podcast, that's pretty freaking low.
Mm.
And I don't believe the whole, well, Batman sells so many copies, they don't need my money. Let me pull up like 50 stories talking about the decline of the comic book industry, because I can send those to you. That's real. That isn't crazy talk.
Oh, yeah. I think there were three shops that closed in May.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you don't tell me, oh, it's the number one comic. They don't need my money. It's like, they sort of do. Everybody sort of does.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, it's interesting, right?
Mm. No, I had so many thoughts tonight, and now you just have me hyper-focused and frustrated.
No, you can have as many thoughts as you'd like. It's a free country.
I know, but I'm not going to change the topic, is my point.
Well,
I think this should be released. I think we should take down the podcast that's set to go up tomorrow and put this one out whenever we can, but I would say put this one out this week.
Yeah, I'll put this one out tomorrow, and then I'll put last week's next week.
Because this is a hunk of bullshit, my friend. It's terrible.
It is terrible. It is terrible. I agree with you completely.
And I wouldn't even blame you if you had like a DC. It, like you said, you get preview copies from DC. If you weren't to buy any DC comics because you have this, well, guess what? You work damn hard to get that. So I'm not going to hold that against you. That, and besides, you're not pirating anything.
Sure.
That's DC saying, hey, we like what you do. Here's access to our stuff. Because it doesn't cost them anything.
Right.
But, terrible.
Mm.
That's just, that would be like Tom King getting like comps of all the DC issues and trades coming out. And then all of a sudden you find out that there's a Tom Ting on eBaying all of his comics and all of his flop. Like, are you freaking serious? Like, DC doesn't have to do any of that. And now here you are, you're not, obviously you think you're not getting paid well enough that you have to go out and sell all this stuff on the side.
Mm. Yeah, that's but another thing that bothers me. So, I mean, I've talked a little bit about speculation. I don't have a problem with speculation at all. I know there's people that make money on speculating, and I'm totally cool with that. But then you have, like, other people that just kind of abuse others' kindness. You know what I mean? Like, if I send you a bunch of books, let's say I have a bunch of doubles of whatever, some kind of Batman run, and I send them to you, my expectation is not for you to go and sell them and get something else. My expectation is for you to read them.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, if you want to sell them at some point, I mean, I guess they're your books, it's your prerogative. But it seems like a really shitty personal thing to do to sell the stuff that was gifted to you that way. And maybe it's just the way that I think about things. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure maybe there's plenty of people that do that. Of course, I wouldn't know anybody that does that. That's just ridiculous. Who would do that?
I've had plenty of people do that. So.
I know a few that do that. Mm-hmm. But that's my point. Like, that seems kind of shitty. You know what I mean? Like, if, all right, you read them and you're done with them, then how about passing that on to somebody else?
Yeah, pass the goodness on.
Yeah, because those were gifted to you. So maybe mm-hmm. you should return the favor and give them to somebody else. I think the problem is there's so many people that don't think. You know what I mean? They're this is going to sound really weird, and I apologize for the language, but have such a low level of consciousness that don't really think about, number one, the repercussions of their actions or words, but also don't really give a flying shit about other people's opinions.
Do you think they're just ignorant? That it's a, like, that's a poor decision on their part? Of the way it looks to others?
So ignorant, but not in a mischievous way, right? It's like you just don't know any better because you're a shitty person.
It's poor form.
Because you've never allowed yourself to expand beyond anything, right? So like everything is everybody else's fault. You do nothing wrong. You're just a perfect angel and everybody does you wrong. That kind of thing.
Insular thinking.
Extremely insular, yes. So that's what I mean by low level of consciousness.
Gotcha.
Well,
you hope those people will figure it out and grow from it.
Sure.
I would hope.
I mean, I would hope, but most times they don't.
Speaking of the you send stuff to people out of the kindness of your heart and then they sell it, have you been following this Baskin Robbins Funko figure exclusive?
No, do tell.
Oh, shit. Okay, buckle up, Buttercup.
I like it.
Baskin Robbins is getting into the Funko business.
Of course so they are.
So they partnered up with Funko to do their very first exclusive character, which is the older brother from Stranger Things Season 3.
Mm.
I guess he was working at a Baskin Robbins in season 3 coming up.
Ah.
Which is timely because I think it's coming out, what, the beginning or the end of June?
I thought it was today. Oh, no. Black Mirror's today. Oh, shit.
Well, back to this.
Yes.
Baskin Robbins teams up with Funko to do this, as well as they put out a couple exclusive Stranger Things ice cream flavors and like ice cream treats. Well, this Funko Pop, all Baskin Robbins, they're independently owned. You know, they have the corporate umbrella, but each location is independently owned. So when corporate said, we're going to have Stranger Things t-shirts, we're going to have stickers, we're going to, you know, they're going to have all this tchotchke for Stranger Things, as well as this exclusive Funko Pop to Baskin Robbins.
Mm.
And they all corporate sent down like, here's the MSRPs for all the informations, but as independent stores, you can fiddle around with that price. But this is sort of the ballpark that we want you to play with. Well, I guess when they released this Funko Pop, a lot of Baskin Robbins managers, the price of the pop was supposed to be like $12 to $14 MSRP. You know, they bought, supposedly you can get them through corporate for $5 and then you mark them up to 12 or 14. Well, these managers figured out how passionate Funko fans are, especially with exclusive figures. And there's been, I mean, a volcano of people reporting that some locations are charging $28, $32, $35 for these. And then some locations make you buy some of the tchotchkes. So if you buy a t-shirt, then you will have the availability to buy a Funko Pop at X amount.
Yowza.
Uh-huh. And then they even found some locations were getting their spouse to come in and buy up all those figures and then sell them like out the back or, you know, flip them on eBay.
Mm, that's crazy.
Some freaking shady, shady stuff.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But also awesome to hear. It was just like, wow, people are doing this. Oh my God. Like, I want to go into Baskin Robbins to see. And like all these I guess all these Funko people, they were just taking pictures of the price tags, taking pictures of like these homemade signs that says like at this location, this Funko product can be purchased with the purchase of t-shirt or such and such and such and such. Like, oh my God.
Mm. Isn't that interesting about people though? Like, people always find the shadiest way to do things.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody. So if you're one of those people, shame on you. If you're one of the people that don't do that, keep listening. Not everybody. But it's so funny. Like, that's always the way it happens. People always find – it reminds me of that movie WALL-E. Remember WALL-E?
Yeah.
How just like everybody's rolling around in their wheelchairs eating chips and whatever. Mm-hmm. And just the robots do everything. Like, I bet you, ideally, that's what 99% of people would want. Because that's generally how people work on a day-to-day basis. You want to get the biggest bang for your buck with the least amount of work. In fact, I had a conversation with a guy today, not the Poopy Bandit, who's still working there, by the way.
Nice. Any other obstruction issues?
He's been doing quite well.
Oh, he's figured out how to handle himself in the latrine.
He's been doing quite well.
Way to go.
He has learned to make sure there's always toilet paper there.
Give him a gold star next time you see him.
I want to say that's so bad to him, but I don't need a call from HR.
Or you should just be like, I have this podcast you should listen to. I've been listening to it for quite a while. I think you'd find it very enlightening. And then give them both episodes. And be like, I don't know who this Martin Ferretti person is, but he has a lot of salient points about a topic that's very similar to what we're talking about.
So, yeah, I had to talk with somebody about that today. I was like, this person's been asked to do something several times. Mm. And he's fairly new. And I spoke with him a few days ago, and I said, look, I need you to do it this way, and this is what your expectation is. Do it this way. This is what I want. This is how you should get to that point. If you have any questions, you ask me. No questions. So I review what I asked him to do the next day without him knowing. I reviewed it, and it was garbage.
Mm.
Total garbage. And so I asked somebody that was working with him, and she told me kind of the way he was doing it. And how it was not the way that I asked for it to be done. So today I took him into my office and we had this discussion. And I was like, you know, never in my life in management have I had to bring someone into my office for the same damn thing twice in 1 week. I need you to explain to me how I can get you to understand the importance of doing things this way. And you should have seen his face. Cause he went all from like smiles, like, hey, how you doing? Like, this was as soon as you walked in the door, I was like, I need you to come in my office. Went all from smiles to, like shitting bricks. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. Usually if your manager is speaking to you in those tones, you expect later on that day that you're going to be signing something like, oh, they've just written me up once and now I have to sign it to say that I understand what you just wrote me up for.
Yep. So we had it was a very short conversation, like 10, 15 minutes. And then mm-hmm. I presented him with his paperwork to sign. And of course, they don't need to sign it. So I explained it to him. I said, you don't need to sign it. If you want to write a comment on it, that's fine. But this is going in your paperwork, in your file. Mm-hmm. And I think he understood it when I presented it this way. But the thing is, like, I mean, he's a young guy. I understand. But like, you're not like a fucking college kid. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, you should understand these things by now. And if you don't, then congratulations. You just learned a lesson, a very valuable lesson that will hopefully will stick around with you for the rest of your career.
One to grow on.
Yeah. So we'll see. I'm going to check on his work tomorrow and see if he actually understood it. I think he did because he was very quiet.
Mm.
Very, very quiet.
Well, just let him be by himself and let him stew.
That's what I'm going to do. I told him I'd check up on him on Monday, so I figured I'd give him a couple days for him to go home, think about it, and then, you know, actually do the work that he's supposed to. And if not, you know, he knows where the door is. He walks in and out every day, so it's fine. I don't even know. How did we get into that?
With Wally.
Oh, Wally.
Going from
yeah.
the Funko story.
So, you know, like, you can't just get away with the minimum amount.
Oh, plenty of people do, my friend.
Yes, that's true. But I think maybe part of the problem there is, don't you think that's kind of maybe an overall expectation? Right? Like, we're talking about this now because we know that's how people work. Do you think, like, sometimes people work that way because everyone else is like, well, yeah, if I could just get away with doing nothing, I would do that too?
Oh, I think it's monkey see, monkey do.
Mm.
I mean, I have never been that way. I'm always trying to keep myself busy and trying to get work done. And it seems like the doers, there's sedentary people and then there's doers, at least for me. Like Wally was even like I read it that way. There's like there's people that don't want to do any of the work and then there's people that will do the work.
Mm.
And I've always been the doer and I hate to say it. It just feels like, recently, you know, the last decade or so, people have figured out how to get themselves into high positions in companies by not really knowing how to do any of the work that the underlings are doing.
Mm, yes.
And then just sort of loading up like, well, obviously, since I'm not doing any of this work, I have to delegate it over to people so they can do the work.
Yeah.
But not really, like, God forbid that any of the underlings took a vacation, because the higher ups would have no clue how to do the underlings' work.
It's true. I talk about this all the time with my boss.
It just feels like a more recent, you know, like I said, the last decade or so.
Mm-hmm.
Like there is no training. Like the boss isn't like there is no apprenticeship anymore. You know, the manager taking the people under their wing and like, let me show you the ropes. Let me paint you a picture.
Mm.
No, it's just sort of like pushing them in and like, figure out the systems yourself. Go. Good luck, people.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right. I try not to do that though. Cause see, my parents raised me very well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they did at least. I didn't always agree with what they taught me. I think that's true for most people. But I think they raised me with a pretty good work attitude. You know, I have no problem working as much as I need to get the job done.
Yeah, you roll up your sleeves for sure.
Yeah. And so I try to instill that in my employees because I will never have them do something that I wouldn't do. You know what I mean?
But also, if you have like a team of five and they're all underlings looking at them from your position,
mm-hmm.
but if your team is five people and three of them are just sort of coasting, then those people, those three people are trying to figure out ways to load up the other two people with their work, but not have it look like all I'm doing is over here surfing. Perfect example. This week, Liz and I are watching television. Well, television. It was YouTube. And an ad came on for Etsy.
Mm.
And I looked over at Liz because it was one of those like, hey, do you need artisanal, like glass etched tumblers. Etsy has them, and they show like, you know, somebody's store, and they show these glass tumblers, which are like, dang, those are cool. Or they show like a wood carving, you know, oh, do you need like a wood vase for your, you know, hassock or whatever.
Mm.
And they show it, and they show the person's store, and they go through like somebody's home, and instead of having items from a big box store that everybody has in their house, you could have, you know, one-off items from Etsy stores, which is, you know, it was a great commercial for Etsy because it sort of encapsulated exactly what Etsy is, not just what you think they are. They're so much more.
Mm.
It was very effective. But I looked over at Liz and I'm like, you know how many people, ever since Etsy started, you know how many people, coworkers, would send me throughout the day, look what I found on Etsy. Wouldn't this be good for such and such party? Or wouldn't this be good for so-and-so's wedding? Or wouldn't this be good for a Christmas present? And I just looked over at Liz. I'm like, I don't know the last time you've been on Etsy, but every time somebody sent me something like that, like, look at these cool coasters. In my head, I interpreted that like, that person isn't even working. There's no way they came up with these Etsy links to send to me without spending 3 hours on Etsy. Mm. So it's like back to your analogy, like it's those three people who want to be on Etsy trying to give the other two people that are doers, like, oh, I wonder if I can tell them, oh my God, I'm so busy. Is there any way you could do this one thing for Martin or Martin's boss? And the doer's like, yeah, I guess. I mean, I'm busy too, but yeah, I'll do that for you. I'll get you out of the bind. Let me do that. Mm-hmm. As the person is just sitting in their cubicle on Etsy.
That's so funny that you say that, because this is exactly the conversation we had.
Sorry, did we bug your boss's office?
No, this is the exact conversation, because as I'm talking to him, his first excuse is like, well, there was so much to do, I just didn't have time to do it that particular way. And so what did Martin do? Went to the tape!
Mm.
And what do I see? Him hanging out at his desk on his phone. So I said, look, if you have time to be on your phone, you have time to do this correctly. Because the problem was, so I didn't tell anybody yesterday because this was a test. We were supposed to have corporate visitors today from the main office.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't say anything because my thing is you should work every day like you had the president in the office. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The CEO in the office. Because you have a job to do and you should be proud of the job that you do. And you should always do it to the best of your ability. So normally if I hear that there's somebody coming for a visit, then I'll say something. But this time I was like, you know what? Like, everything's running pretty smoothly. I'm not too worried about it. Like, I'm just not going to say anything and see what happens.
No, I'm in your camp. Like, both of my previous jobs, they both would let you know, hey, there's people walking the floors or they're going to be in the building. You know, make sure you dress up nice or make sure, you know, understated letting you know, like, make sure you're at your desk working. Don't be messing around. And it's like, yeah, but every day I should be dressed up. Every day I should be working, right? Isn't that how? But then I walk by people's cubicles and I think we've even discussed this, and I've told plenty of people, I'm like, if a company wants to let you go, they could go onto everyone's computer and look at their history. They don't even need to know times and just see, oh, you went on to Amazon? Well, hit the bricks, guy. Because everybody goes on to Amazon, whether it's for 2 minutes or it's for 2 hours.
Sure.
But they could fire you for a litany of reasons. But I'm just never that person that's like, but I walk by people's desks and it's like, oh my God, they're just sitting on, I know what our company's Twitter account looks like, and that ain't it. You're just sitting on your Twitter account. But I'm also not the person that believes when you're at your desk, you have to be chained to the desk. Guess what? I've been on my phone or on my iPad not doing work stuff because every once in a while, since I'm a doer, I need a mental break. I need to break from work just a little bit.
You absolutely need that. And I tell my people this all the time. I don't care if you go on your phone and check your Facebook or your Twitter or Snapchat, whatever. You want to watch a YouTube video, like you want to go smoke a cigarette, whatever. Like, I don't care. Don't ask me. You know what I mean? Like, you don't need to tell me any of that stuff. The point is, if you're doing your work, then that means if you do it correctly, you'll have some time. You know what I mean? And I'll accept you taking a 10-minute break to go smoke or do whatever because your stuff is getting done. The problem is when you don't get it done, and then I see that all you're doing is hanging out on Facebook or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there is an issue with that. Well, I used to work for a silkscreen decal company.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a salesperson that would be there. And they got there early in the morning. And they were one of the last people to leave. Mm. And their desk was a hurricane hit it. Everything just all messed up, and they were the big people. There's always people in every company that was like, oh my God, I have so much work to do. Oh my God, I can't get it all done. And I hate to say it, it's like, that's also a person, like, if you just organized yourself a little bit and like gave yourself like deadlines for all of this stuff, you'd be able to hit all those deadlines. Instead, you have in your head 101 things going on, hence why your desk looks a complete mess.
Right, right.
And you can't figure out what to do next because it's so your desk is cluttered, your brain's cluttered.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so I don't feel bad for them. And I would, Gundy and I worked at one of my previous places, and he was a manager. I was just a peon. And he definitely had a very similar approach to his team like you do. But then I would look at some of these people that were part of his team, and they would be jerking off. And then the doers are like busting their ass to get all this work done. And guess what? A manager knows who's a doer and who's like right. taking it easy a little bit. And you know who they load up? The doer, because right. they know that shit's going to get done.
Yep.
And I even told him once, I'm like, dude, and I gave him the analogy about my screen printing decal place and the chaos on that person's desk. And I'm like, listen, if the doer's getting all their work done in 5 hours, 6 hours, it's up to you to load them up for eight. Mm-hmm. But I hate to say it, if you're not going to load them up for eight, what's wrong with that person leaving after 6 hours?
Mm-hmm.
They were efficient and got all their work done. And he's like, oh no, that would cause so much chaos in the team. And I'm like, or it could motivate the team to all be like that person and be a lot more effective.
Yeah. So what I try to instill in my people is make things run as smoothly as possible. Right. And when you put your workload on somebody else, that doesn't make things run smoothly, and it makes it harder for everybody. So everybody has to work harder.
Mm.
You see what I mean? So the one lesson that took me like 10 fucking years to learn is exactly the way that I treat my people.
Mm.
So my second job out of college, okay, I was out of college for like a year. I started at this job, and I came in as a peon. And within 3 weeks, like, all the management quit. And for some reason, they promoted me to management. And so I've been in management ever since. This is like 16 years now.
Sure.
At every job that I've had since, I've been in management. Why that was, I don't know. But it took me 10 years to learn all the lessons that I try to instill in my people. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, you get your stuff done, that gives you time to slack off. If all you do right. is slack off, then people get upset. They don't want to be here. You know, you give people bad attitudes. You don't want any of that stuff. I told this guy today because when he started talking that, I showed him the tape, and he's like, oh, I mean, come on, bro. It's like you just been here a day. You know what I mean? You've been here a while. You know that I can check cameras. There's cameras everywhere. And like mm-hmm. I told him, I don't like to micromanage. I told him, I said, how many times do I come by your desk in a given day? I don't know, maybe once. Yeah, because that's not how I work.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't want my boss to come up to me every 5 fucking minutes asking what I'm doing. I'm sure you don't either. So why don't you just do the right thing and do your job the way you're supposed to so I don't have to do that? You know what I'm saying? Like, you're making it hard for yourself because now we have to have the stupid conversation. You're wasting 15 minutes of my time that I could be doing something else. I could be going home already because this is like 6:30.
Oof. I thought you got him right at the beginning of the day.
I got him early in the day to talk to him. But when things didn't work out, I had to have a serious conversation. This is like 6:30. I'm like, dude, like, I should have been home already. You know what I mean? Like, I've been done with my stuff since like 3 o'clock. Now, I stayed and I was doing other stuff. But obviously, like, the main reason I stayed was to get you to a point where I knew that I could talk to you and not bother anybody else's workload.
Yeah, and usually you're the new Martin is gone at 5:30.
I'm leaving at 1 tomorrow.
To do. Nice.
Yeah. which, by the way, nobody from corporate showed up as expected. in fact, my boss messaged me. He's like, "We're not coming by there, but we're gonna have a meeting tomorrow." I said, "That's cool. Send me a text after your meeting's done." But I told him, I said, I knew you guys weren't coming here. Because the thing is, he never lets... not never. Sometimes, like, they're just like, we're going to go see what Martin's up to. But most of the time, they don't come see me. Because they know when they come see Martin, Martin's going to tell them every single thing that they're doing wrong. And possible ways to fix it. And a lot of times, these people don't want to hear that. They just want things done that the way that they've set out things to do. And they don't like people that aren't yes men. And I'm not a yes man. I haven't been for a long time.
They want to be blissfully ignorant and just assume you're getting everything done.
Yeah, they're just going to be like, yes, sir, no problem. Let me write some notes. We'll make sure that's done. And that's not the way Martin works.
Sure.
I mean, obviously, I'm going to abide by the rules. I work there. But Martin has no problem speaking his mind, as good. You can tell by this podcast.
Well, I don't know. You're still keeping me in the... we haven't had the Geraldo Rivera expose, so this certainly went a different direction than I thought it would. An hour and a half later.
It's not because I don't want to tell you, Nick.
I know, you're thinking about it, and then guess what? 2 weeks later, you're going to be like, whatever.
I'm almost like that right now. What do you mean 2 weeks later?
No, I'm saying you want to think about it, but by the time like you're going to roll into talking about it, it'll just be like, let's blow that over. Oh, well.
So if this was just you and I talking,
which it is,
then I would tell you. You know what? How about this? I'm going to tell you, but then I'll bleep it out.
Well, no, I can already guess who it is, but I think the listeners should know.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. If it was just you and me talking, then I would tell you. But, you know, we have several thousand people listening to this show for some reason. And I don't want to seem petty because I don't think I'm a petty person.
Okay. I just thought it would be fun to do a Geraldo Rivera expose.
I mean, it's not like if you've been listening to all the clues that I gave, it's not like you can't figure it out.
I don't think all thousand people will figure that out, but... because I don't think everyone's involved in our little Nerdy Legion micro-universe.
Sure, but I will tell you, probably 75% of the people that listen to this show listen to at least two or three other shows on the network.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. Not everybody, because some people just like to hear the bullshit. But a lot of people... came in through like other stuff like Valiant Central or Comics Like Today, sure. Or whatever, or started here and went to some of those other shows. So not everybody, but I would say like 70 to 80% listen to at least three or four shows on the network.
Is it petty? Yes. Am I the one in the red bandana? Yes. Do I think we should put everything on Front Street? Absolutely. Because I try to be as honest as I possibly can.
Well, and that's what's troublesome. Because I also try to be... I mean, we talked about this on the episode that will come out next week now, where I like to be 1,000% honest all the time.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, what harm would come to this other than people knowing that guy's scummy?
It's true.
Do we want them to go badger somebody? No. We're not saying... like. Do we want this to all of a sudden, like, we're going to rally the troops and send death threats to Tom Kidd? No. No! If anyone listens to our podcast and thinks that that is ever a message that you or I would ever throw out to people, but would we want them quietly not to support said podcast and said person? And maybe would that enlighten the people's opinion of this person when it comes to reviews or listening to them? Possibly. And how is that being an error? I'm not sure. Am I being petty because we got a 1-star review and I put a lot of shit into this podcast? Yes, I'm petty. I'm going in the red bandana, damn it. I just don't want to, just like I don't want to support like shitty creators.
Sure.
Like you can support whoever you want to, listener. As well as Martin Ferretti. But if I choose not to, then I choose not to.
All right, fine.
Hey, fine. To be honest with you, would I love to have this person on and have a discourse with them on this topic, on Nerdy Legion, for sure. Do I want you to run over to Comic Talk today to have a symposium by yourself on this topic after talking about it for an hour and a half? No, I'd be pissed.
So I think I already called this person out on Comic Talk today a couple weeks ago. Not by name. I'm doing it just like I'm doing it here.
Ah, okay. Smoke and mirrors.
Because, like I said, I like to be honest, but I'm also respectful of other people, even when they're idiots. I will say this. Because I have seen a couple people that listen to the show tweet at this new show. So let me make this perfectly clear. I'm going to say what show it is.
Okay, let me be perfectly clear before you announce anything and yes. Do an expose.
Sure.
You're better than this. I might be down, and when have I ever wanted to sling mud? But also, if there's a pile-on effect that you think's going to domino react from this, then maybe we should. Because I don't want people to all of a sudden get on a high horse or, like, I don't want this to all of a sudden stir the pot because we're directing it directly at certain people or a podcast.
Sure.
I don't want to be in an internet feud because I got better things to do.
I think that our listeners are extremely smart and not the kind of people that will be bogged down by pettiness. So I don't think that our listeners would go and start a campaign against this podcast.
Could we call this episode, since we're not going to call it out, can we call this episode by the person's first name, we're looking at you?
Oh, man, I was going to call it, hello, I'm Geraldo Rivera.
I'm the one in the red bandana. Actually, that would be all right, too.
I will say this.
Because I also don't want some – I love me some Ronnie Barron, but would I want him to go on to Twitter thinking that he's defending us right. And saying, hey, whoever it is, Joe Schmo, you should be checking out the latest episode of Nerdy Legion because they're putting you on Front Street.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, like, oh, is this have we just got into a Twitter feud? Because I've never been in one. Or are we doing a podcasting feud? Because I've never been in one. Because I don't care about that. Like, you know what I'm saying?
All right, let's do this. Let's do this. So we have extremely smart listeners.
Yeah.
If you have figured out who we're talking about, because this person's not going to listen.
I would assume not. But if Ronnie called to my attention, somebody was talking shit about me on a different podcast, You don't think I would be at all curious and that I would be stopping whatever podcast I was currently listening to and immediately jumping over to that podcast? Hell to the yeah, I would.
Sure. So let me say this. There is a new podcast with one episode I recommend you do not support. I will not tell you what podcast that is or what network it's on or who the host is. But if you've been listening, you can very easily figure out who it is that I'm speaking about. You can also make up your own mind on whether I'm being petty, Nick's being petty, or this other person's being petty. Regardless of what you think, I don't want to know about it. You know what? I do want to know about it. But I don't want you to guess who it is publicly.
Yeah, send us an email at hello@nerdylegion.com.
There you go.
Because I would love to know if you can guess who it is. And I'll be the first to admit it. Right now, I am being petty. And right now, me trying to goad you into doing an expose, that's just to see if you'll do it. Because I already know who the person is. I don't need you to do it.
I will say this. If you know this person personally, and you want to invite them on this, the Nerd Legion podcast with Nick Wetmore, I will be more than happy to speak with them about their habits publicly. Yes. However, I guarantee you this person will not do so. Because who would admit to being a pirate publicly?
Can I throw out another caveat, if you don't mind?
Yes.
Martin records everything.
Everything.
Martin has a database.
He does.
Not that it's a blackmailed database. But if this said person goes beyond just giving us a one-star review publicly and does any more lashing out onto the cozy hammock, the banana hammock, the comfy couch that is the Nerdy Legion podcast with Martin Ferretti, then the stuff that Martin has been just holding on to, that will be publicly leaked.
I like it. I think that's fair.
And I will force you to do that, because giving us a one-star review and not, believe me, if we're not your cup of tea, my only response to anyone is please stop listening. Just stop listening. Take us off. Well, would I love you to keep downloading so we keep that number? That would be great. But you don't owe me that. You don't owe Martin that.
Right.
Just stop listening. Like, move on. The amount of money that you've paid to subscribe to this podcast and this podcasting network, Martin, refund them that money.
All right.
And he'll happily do that.
Refund's on the way.
But just to give a one star, it's like, let's add up how many hours we've been doing this. Just stop listening. There's been plenty. Let me name off 50 comics that I've been reading, and then all of a sudden they go into the shitter for me. Everyone else might love them. And you know what I do? I stop reading it. I stop supporting it and put my money towards something else. Because that's the American way. But if he continues to come on, I want all these bad practices out on Front Street.
That's fine. And I know that there are people on his network that listen, so I will say to those people, none of this has anything to do with you or your network.
Yeah, and don't direct our podcast, because we have not said who this person is. So
I would just recommend that this network take this garbage person off their network. That's all. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, if it's as bad as you're telling me, it sounds like that could be a negative that would become infectious.
Sure, and the thing, and I like the rest of the people there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And before anyone says anything, it's not Daryl or his network.
No, the Taylor network of podcasts is fantastic.
We love them all. Go subscribe to all their shows.
Oh my God, absolutely.
Yeah.
Great bunch of guys. And women. And women.
Guys and girls, yes. It's also not Derek's the DC noise stuff, Mike's none of that. Not Derek Coward either.
No. Stamp of the Nerdy Legion stamp of approval for the Derek Coward Network.
Absolutely. 100% approve. As a matter of fact, I'm a Patreon of his Patreon.
There you go.
So not those guys, before anybody says anything. So, yeah.
But yes, please feel free, listener, to write to us with your guesses. We certainly do not want this to become a Twitter or Facebook debate, even though Martin isn't on Facebook, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. No, if you want to talk about this, we can talk about this privately.
No, it goes back, sure, have you thrown out some barbs to John Romita Jr. in your day? Sure, it's easy to.
But I never mentioned him by name.
But you're not jumping on John Romita's Twitter and like, let me tell you who's bad, at John Romita Jr. You know, it's like, you could say he's the worst, but guess what? Why include that person in your tweet? It's just, we have to be above. God, we have to be above.
I was so mad. I went to Walmart and I got some Batman minifigs.
I know.
And the first one I opened was goddamn John Romita Jr.
Oh, I'm so jealous. I wish you would just send that one to me. All I want is that one and the Gary Frank one.
Yeah, the Gary Frank one's nice.
Yeah.
I was telling Ronnie, it's really easy to figure out which one you're getting.
Oh?
So, yeah. Because normally these blind bags, you're not supposed to be able to tell.
Yeah.
But all the five different figures you can get are actually distinct enough where if you have a picture, if you take a picture, maybe this is just me. Because I'm very visual and tactile. But if you take a picture with you, like just on your phone, look them up. And you go to your Walmart and you find the box of Batman minifigs. Yeah. And you turn it so you can feel the back of the figure. You can tell exactly which one you're getting every time.
But don't they come in a box so you'd have to open up the box?
It's not a box. It's a
blind bag?
Yeah, it's a bag.
Oh, jeez. Because usually they put them in cardboard boxes so you can't.
Yeah, it's a bag.
Oh, well then, shoot, I'm going to go there and figure out the John Romita one. Thank you. Good call, Mr. Ferretti.
Uh-huh. John Romita Jr. You know what? It's fine. It's actually in the center of my Batman minifig display.
You know, what the hell? But no, I mean, it is. It's just the way you approach a situation. You don't have to call everybody on Front Street all the time.
Absolutely.
It's just like when you watch those like daytime talk shows and the woman cheated on the husband or vice versa. Mm. And it was an affair that happened 4 years ago, but she's finally going to reveal it to her husband. And it's one of those things like, was he even asking for you to reveal it? Or do you just want to get something off your chest finally that was niggling you the whole time? Mm. And it's like, are you doing it for his sake or for your sake? Because it just doesn't feel good.
Sure.
But like people are like, oh, thank God I got that off my chest. And it's like, yeah, but what about the other person? The wake of destruction that's behind you after you like finally got that off your chest. Oh, thank God.
I guess. But I don't have anything to get off my chest. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just don't like I don't like these weird practices that some people.
I don't like fake people.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's the reason why like you and I have been able to be friends for so long and mm-hmm. We were almost at 200 episodes on this piece of shit show. You know what I mean? I mean piece of shit in the best of ways because this is actually one of my favorite shows to record.
Oh, thank you.
There's a reason for that, right? There's a reason why, like, there's been a core group of people that we hang out with and talk to all the time. And the reason for that, I think, is that the people that have kind of stuck around are genuinely the most genuine and honest.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we go about doing things may be different.
Yeah, like, we don't all agree with all points of view of different people, but... Sure. That's life. That's friends.
But ultimately, we can all accept each other's opinions, and we know when we're all joking.
Yep.
Like, to be friends with Ronnie Barron and Aaron Bell is not the easiest thing, because they love trolling people.
They do.
And you know what? It's funny, because you know that it's a joke, unless you're one of the people that don't realize it's a joke.
Yeah, that happened to me as well.
Yeah.
So I took something very personal, but guess what? The person that said it, they were doing exactly what you said. They were just trolling.
Mm-hmm.
But I took it very personally for XYZ reason, and they had no clue. Yeah. They weren't saying it maliciously or trying to hurt me. But as soon as I said, dude, that really hurt me, they immediately took that to a personal channel, and it was just and they were reaching out, just me and them, and we talked through it, and they were extremely apologetic. Extremely.
Mm.
But it's like, that's what friends do. Like, sure. You haven't been in my life, you know, like a brother has. Like, you don't know what makes me tick, you know, or something that could affect me when I was 7 years old, because I never shared it with you.
Or maybe I've been there the whole time.
Oh, you do record everything.
Private eyes are watching what? You.
They see your every move.
So, yeah, anyways.
But that's what friends do, is my point.
No, absolutely.
Like, if somebody didn't care about you, they would just be like, get over it.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know, man. I'd still tell you to get over it. I mean, to an extent.
No, but if it truly hurt and all of a sudden. Hey, you understand I was joking. And it's sure. Like, yeah, I understood you were joking, but it still doesn't mean that it doesn't affect me.
No, that's true. That's true. And then when you get to that point, it's a matter of how do you accept that apology, right?
Right.
Because I may have a different opinion on events than you do. Mm-hmm. Now, can I understand where you're coming from? Yes. Can you accept where the way I understand things? Well, that's kind of where things go, right? If you can't accept that, if you can only see your own viewpoint, then that makes things a little bit more difficult.
Yes, but if you were saying some Archie Bunker stuff.
Oh, sure.
Or whatever type of stuff, and I didn't appreciate it, and I'm like, yo, tone that down. And you were just like, you're not the only one that I'm talking to right here. This is a group chat. Mm-hmm. And you just continued. Well, then I guess it's up to me whether or not do I want to stay in this group chat? Do I want to block just you because I'm, you know, done with that?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, then that's the next step.
Yeah.
But as a friend, I'm pretty sure if you knew there was a sensitive topic or subject and I mentioned it to you, you'd be like, yeah, maybe I should tone that down a little bit. Because some people can be tone deaf depending on the topic.
This is totally off topic, but why do I have a Ravage number 25 on my desk?
Ravage 25?
Yeah. Remember Ravage 2099?
Yes.
Yeah, I have issue 25 on my desk.
What?
I don't know.
Is it for a book club?
No, it was on my shelf.
Weird.
Why is this here?
Buddy, I had so much stuff we had to talk about tonight, and now it's just been waylaid. It's been thrown to the wind.
I mean, if you
in a good way. I loved it because you, as you could tell, you got my heart racing. that subject affects me because I became very passionate, almost too passionate. And thank God we talked. Our conversation went the way it did because you know I love being in a universe of rainbow unicorns.
Oh, I know.
And I think I would have been very upset with myself if I would have stepped back and like, wow, we just completely threw that person under the bus as well as putting them on Front Street and now people are after them on Twitter. Like, that's not something I want to cultivate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We don't cultivate hate. We cultivate love. You know
See,
that.
See, that's why you should be glad that we're not talking to Martin from 10 years ago. We're talking to Martin right now.
I'm sure that, Mark. Boy, that knee-jerk reaction, Martin.
It's so funny. Like, I still have some employees that are slightly afraid of me. when they find out that I'm Sicilian from New York, they're like, don't fuck with that guy. He'll fucking murder you.
I like it.
Yeah. Let me hang on a sec.
Sure.
Well, I mean, like, do you have to go? Because we can just record another episode. That's up to you.
Well, you usually have to go because you have another episode to record.
Not tonight. I'm doing it tomorrow.
Oh, shoot. Jeez, look at you.
That's up to you.
Well, I have to be up early tomorrow. I'm house sitting for my mom.
Let's wrap it up then.
That was going to be a whole topic as well as the summer of soups, but you know, we can talk about that later.
That's fine. Put a pin in it.
Let's put a pin in it.
You've been listening to the Nerdy Legion podcast with who? Nick Wetmore. That's who. Oh. No, no, no. I'm cutting that part out.
Ah, dang it! Edit.
You can find Nick at Nick Wetmore. I'm at Geek Vine. The show is at Nerdy Legion. We'll be back next week. Oh, wait. The announcement. No, we'll do that next time.
Oh, man. Come on.
Fine.
Yeah, here it comes.
So, I will be taking the month of July off from podcasting. So you will still have Nerdy Legion episodes. You will still have Comic Talk Today episodes. You will still have Aftershock Central, and you will still have Batpod episodes. Aftershock and Batpod, I probably will not be on those, but Comic Talk Today and this podcast, you will still get with me on it through the month of July. They just will not be like current stuff because we're going to pre-record them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take a month of a podcasting to relax. I might take the whole month off of Twitter, because like I said, I'm trying to work on my inner self.
What about from work?
I'm going to take at least a week off of work,
nice.
Depending how things go. Because I have Zoe this summer.
Uh-huh.
So if I can have her stay with her mom for a week, I'm going to be doing a silent retreat for 7 days. I hope I can make that happen because I've been thinking about this for like 6 months now. It doesn't mean I'm going to like go disappear. I might just be at the house, but it might be better if I disappear, get like a cabin or something for a week and just, hang out with me, myself and my thoughts.
Are you going to be at the Scientology Center?
No, those people are crazy.
Oh. And you know it ain't going to be silent there.
Yeah, those people are crazy. As you know, I've been doing a lot of meditating and introspection stuff. And I feel like I'm at a point where I want to spend a great deal of time on it, a lot more than I have to give in any given day. And I think it'd be good to do a silent retreat for 7 days where it's just me, myself, and I. Relaxing and just thinking about life.
The Black Bolt retreat.
Yes, the Black Bolt retreat.
Yes.
That's it. We'll be back next week with last week's episode.